For iFilm Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from ITFA 2014, joined by filmmaker Fee Ambo, who presented her film Good Things Await here at the festival. So thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So let's start off, and could you tell our listeners a little bit about what the film talks about?
The film is about a biodynamic farmer in Denmark, but it's really more about a way of living that pays attention to the details and that's not so worried about efficiency and economy. So it's sort of the opposite of what we experience in the outer society.
Is it something that you were familiar with before you actually tackled the subject for your documentary?
Well, I did have my children in Waldorf school and Waldorf preschool. So, and the biodynamic farming comes from Rudolf Steiner, who's the inventor of the whole way of thinking.
And what about, Niels? I believe his name is Niels. How did you come across him?
Well, actually, I met him because I was going with my youngest daughter. She was on a preschool trip, and we went there to visit. And I just immediately felt that there was something interesting going on because we were told that this farmer, he delivers produce to Noma, which is one of the world's best restaurants. But at the same time, you could see that the buildings were falling apart. So there was something interesting in this contrast. It made me wonder what's going on here, since it was obvious that the animals were happy and everything was so beautiful, but there was something, there was a tension going on still that made me very curious. And also, I immediately felt that this was a place where it would be good for me to spend some time.
Yeah, and I would also say that he's quite a cinematic character. You know, he seems like he's from another time, and he's certainly. Yeah, I mean, the camera loves him, and he's got such charisma. Did you consider that too while you were filming?
Yeah, actually, I always bring my still camera when I go around. So when I saw him the first time, I asked him to pose a bit for the camera just to check out if he's working as well as I thought he was when I saw him, and that worked well, and he was easy to work with in that way.
So he obviously agreed to be in the documentary, but was he willing to share his story, and was he collaborative throughout the film?
You know, he was really worried about how much can you say about biodynamics without people thinking about it like a strange spiritual path that they don't want to go down of. You know, he was worried that we would be too open about some things in the biodynamic farming that he was worried how people would receive it.
Yeah, because throughout the film, actually, halfway through, people actually, I mean, he gets in trouble for doing things his own way. And you were there. So how did that feel? Were you a little outraged when that happened yourself?
Well, for me, it's a mystery that the animal welfare people are so shocked by some cow shit on a cow when it's allowed to have industrial farming. If you go into an industrial farm, it's a torture chamber. And there's no doubt about that. So for me, it was just lack of perspective. And I really think that the public need to know much more about these things because it's just really crazy to come to a farm where the farmer talks to all the animals. He knows where they are and how they feel and who's giving birth to who and all this stuff. And then he gets accused of, of hurting the animals at the same time next door at the industrial farms. That's perfectly all right. They even get paid to pollute our soil and to treat the animals really poorly. So, that uproared me, yeah.
Yeah, I can't emphasize it enough, how much this man actually cares about the animals that he looks after. And me, myself, being someone who actually, cares about these things, I'm all for animal rights and I'm a bit of an environmentalist, like I told you before the interview. Seeing someone like that was absolutely amazing. But let's talk technical side now. And I'd like to know, first of all, how long did the shoot go on for?
I was there for 2 years, but then we started editing, and then I went back and forth through the editing phase. So all in all, 2.5 years, something like that.
And I noticed as well, and I was also telling you this before the interview, that in some moments you just, give way to the beauty of the environment, the immense beauty of the environment, and you were inspired by it in a way, I take it. Felt like nothing short of visual poetry, so you let the environment inspire you in a way.
Oh yeah, because I think that being in a farm like that, you get overwhelmed by the richness of what's going on in the soil, and the biodiversity is just enormous. This is the most diverse place in Denmark. There's like, if you look at 1 square meter in the ground, there's 35 different kinds of plants. So it's just, it's overwhelming how much that affects us as human beings, but we sort of forget it. It's like we have, when we're children, we have an intuitive connection to nature. And when I came there, I felt that this was a place that could bring that back to people and to me. So I just told myself, this is a time for me to take time off and just, you know, look at a snail. How long time does it take for it to go from one place to another? And just, you know, forget about time and efficiency. Just try and sink into the rhythm of the nature, which is much, much, much slower and much, and very different from the rhythm that created that we've created in our industrial society.
So we mentioned the post-production work on this film. Can you tell us a little more about that and how you worked on creating this kind of rhythm that would convey your subject and your themes?
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky to work with a very good editor who I've been editing a lot of films with before. And he had the same feeling that we felt now we're going to go a little bit against the stream and do something that's pretty slow, because we think that that's what's needed right now for a lot of people who are stressed and who are much more worried about tomorrow than they are in the present moment. So we just agreed that if we want people to be placed in the present moment, then we need to make something that's pretty slow and that you can sort of sink into the seat and just relax and watch the mystery of nature, really, because it's amazing when you look at a cobweb and when you look at the details. It's just, you know, it's incredible how it's structured, and the whole holistic thought is just it's really something that you never get tired of looking at and exploring.
Conveys the fact that, you know, good soil takes a long time for nature to develop. And another question, let's step away from the technical side again, and I'd like to get your points of view on the actual subject. You've followed it for quite a while, but still this type of farming seems to be unsuited to the consumerist side of, you know, industrial side of farming. Why do you think that is, and do you really believe, like Niels, that this is the future? What he does is the future.
I think that biodynamic and organic farming and permaculture farming and, you know, ways of farming that look at how nature reacts when you leave it alone a little bit, I think those are the farming ways for the future. Because what we've been in the industrial age, we've been very concerned about harvesting and not so much about sowing the seeds for the future. So now is the time to turn that development around. And the UN actually came with a big report that shows, in order to make a sustainable farming environment, we have to have smaller farms with no pesticides. Because it's a very short way, it's a very short span of time where you get a lot of crops, but then the soil is just exhausted.
So you hope this film will spark up a debate internationally?
Yeah, I hope that it will give sort of what it could be one of the ways to do the farming of the future, because I do think that a lot of people realize that we're at a place in time in history where we have to make some pretty radical choices. And the problem is that it's difficult to find the way out. It's difficult to see, so how do we do it? And a lot of arguments are like, well, there's no way that we can feed a growing population without pesticides and without the industrial way of farming. But that's just, you know, it's propaganda. And I really think that in order to experience that yourself, you have to have some physical experience with nature and with the soil, and then you'll realize that it's propaganda.
Good things await. Wonderful documentary. And I thank you very much for taking the time off and talking with us about it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks very much. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio.
24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.